resistance is futile. Don't worry, I'm not trying some sort of Lenten brainwashing trick, a liturgical mind meld that will turn you all into spiritual drones for the next 40 days and 40 nights. If the Great Litany couldn't accomplish that, nothing can. Resistance is futile. I'm not really into science fiction. It's just not my thing, and I'm certainly not a big Trekkie, but even I know this phrase comes from Star Trek. Resistance is futile is the catchphrase of the Borg. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and if there are any hardcore Trekkies here this morning, I have no doubt that they will, because that's what they do. But as I understand it, the Borg is the recurring antagonist in Star Trek. The Borg is a bit hard to define, but it's linked together by a hive mind known as the collective. It forcibly transforms individuals into drones and surgically augments them with technological components, so they end up looking like a half-human and half-robot. I assume their end game is to take over the world or the universe, as the case may be, because when they come into contact with Mr. Spock, Captain Kirk, and the rest of the crew, the threat is clear. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. When it comes to temptation, which is a major theme on the first Sunday of Lent, the concept of resistance plays a major role. Resisting temptation, resisting that which leads us astray, resisting that which separates us from the love of God. During his 40 days in the wilderness, which serves as the basis for the season of Lent, Jesus is tempted with bodily cravings, with wealth, with power. The devil says, "You're hungry? Turn this stone into a loaf of bread. You want glory? Worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You say you're the Son of God? Prove it by throwing yourself off this cliff." Those are serious temptations. Take the first example. Jesus had been fasting. Luke tells us he was famished. He was feeling weak, physically and mentally. As you could imagine, after wandering around in the wilderness for so long, isolated, emaciated, exhausted. And it was at precisely this point that the devil shows up offering Jesus an out. Whether it was an actual satanic creature or just a powerful emotional feeling of temptation doesn't really matter. Temptation tries to knock us off the path. It tries to distract us from the task at hand. In this case, there was an attempt to compromise Jesus' time of prayerful preparation before the start of his public ministry. That's what he was doing in the wilderness. Through this time, Jesus was claiming his identity as God's Son. And resistance of the powerful forces working to undermine his future ministry of healing and his coming message of hope was critical to its success. Never before or since has one man's resistance mattered so much. Now, at one level, I admit I've never been all that impressed with this story of resistance, this particular form of resistance. I mean, it's a lot easier to resist temptation if you're Jesus, right? From a theological perspective, the humanity of Jesus was subjected to temptation, but the divinity of Jesus resisted it. Or as Paul wrote in his letter to the Hebrews, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. The point is, Jesus knew temptation and experienced its powerful pull, a universal allure of the human condition. The fact that Jesus experienced temptation at all is an indication of his ability to identify and to be present with us through our own dealings with temptation. And there is something so comforting in that, to know that whatever struggles we endure in resisting our own demons and temptations, that Jesus is right there with us, that he's in the trenches alongside us, that come whatever may, he'll never forsake us or abandon us, because he's been there and he knows that struggle, and that struggle is real and hard and powerful and real. Yet raising the notion of our own struggles with resisting temptation in the context of Jesus' resisting temptation out in the wilderness can feel a bit unfair. Maybe that's my problem, at least with using this story as a way to talk about our own internal spiritual battles. It always leaves us feeling inadequate. Because the reality is, we can't compare ourselves to Jesus. We can't compete with Jesus' literally superhuman ability to resist temptation. When we do, it sets us up for failure. At best, we recognize our own frailty. At worst, we end up dwelling upon the utter depravity of the human condition. Because for you and me, resistance is futile. We give in. We give up. We give out. We fall down. We fall in. We fall apart. Resistance is futile. And you know what? That's okay. We may be made in the image of God, but we are not, in fact, God. We are beloved by God because of our humanity, not despite it. We are beloved by God even when we fail to resist the temptations that surround us. And friends, that is good news. But I have even more good news to share this morning. You ready? It's Lent. Now, Lent is, is many things. But it is decidedly not the church's season of guilt. There's enough of that to go around already in our families, in our work lives, in our own souls. I think the Borg has arrived. But we don't need to compound guilt by piling on for the next 5 weeks here at church. Lent is, however, the season of resistance and repentance and return. We often rightly emphasize resistance and repentance. When the resistance doesn't go so well, we repent. But these must go hand in hand with the notion of return, of returning to God, of returning to church, of returning to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we return, we leave refreshed and renewed and revitalized. And so, while from a spiritual perspective, the resistance of temptation is futile, returning to God never is. It's not that we shouldn't try to resist temptation, or that we don't succeed in various aspects of our lives, and it's not as if we should just give in to every whim and passion, but we're human. And so at times we do give in to temptation. We sin. We are not Jesus. Without that sense of repentance and return, resistance remains futile. The Borg wins. Don't let the Borg win this Lent. Repent and return to the Lord whenever resistance fails. That's the glitch in the Borg system. That's the workaround. Resist, repent, return. That's the recipe for keeping a holy Lent, which is, after all, what we're invited into. That's not a sermon prop, by the way. I just want to be clear about that. We are invited into a holy Lent, not a perfect Lent, not a sinless Lent, but a holy Lent. And that is my prayer and hope for every single one of you this season.